up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Well, Willie Nelson, you know, there's no guy who sings about dope better than Willie Nelson.
He's got his own brand.
That is true. He does. That is true. He does. All right. Wait. Hold on. Wait a second. I'll introduce you in a second. Hold on. Illinois rakes in almost $40 million in recreational marijuana, and this is that's total revenue, but the tax money. That's what I'm most interested in, because I want to see if that actually does make a difference. Because if it doesn't, then it's still fun that we're doing it. But it's that we were sold a bill of goods here, as we always are by Springfield. So the big question that I have is, where does the where for you, you people out there who are going to the dispensary, when you are going to the dispensary, are you doing it because you just decided now that it's legal, you're going to start back up, or you want to see what it is for the first time, or whatever the draw is? Is this better than your mailroom guy to buy the weed from? Is this better than the guy in the corner, or your brother-in-law who's got, you know, a guy with another person that they figured it out? And I mean, is this working for you? 312-981-7200. Are the weed doctors with us, Andy Seeger. And Andy, thank you for doing this again.
Not a problem.
You're perfect at explaining how this whole thing works, because you work in the business of legal marijuana.
Yes. Yep. We are a market research firm that researches everything cannabis, CBD, cannabis, all over the world.
Yep.
So hesitate on the doctor. That's a little bit more medicinal. We're a little bit more on the research side.
Okay. You're the weed dude. Okay. So let's talk about this. Is that $40 million a good number, do you think, to start?
That is a huge number. That's the second biggest behind California's opening, if we want to call that. You know, it was a pretty soft opening given the liberal market they had out there before they opened up legal sales.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada came in around 27, I think. Michigan, for their first month of sales.
What was California? Do you remember?
California, we estimated around 70 million.
Yeah.
And it was actually down from their previous year.
But and let's just explain that. In California, they had medicinal marijuana, but you could get licensed in the store.
Yeah, they had a guy that would sign your card, and then you could go right back to the line and get your stuff.
I mean, there was a guy who called himself Dr. Bob, and he was in a Hawaiian shirt, and he would sign you off, and you would just go, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, like you said, I mean, it wasn't really, it didn't have the same, like here, these were real, that was a real deal here. If you want to get a medical marijuana card, you had to have a doctor do it. I mean, it was harder than it is in other states. Let's put it that way.
California definitely had to wrangle their market back in. I think Illinois is slowly letting their market out. So this is a really, really big number, and I would say that this would even be bigger if we had the supply that would actually meet the demand here.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because when we had you on a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about this, the issue with supply is that the marijuana sold at these dispensaries in Illinois has to be a product of Illinois. And as such, there's only so many facilities that are manufacturing this or growing and manufacturing this stuff, whether it's actual leaf or what do you call it? Bud?
Flower. Whatever.
Flower,
you
want. Mm-hmm. Or if it's gummies or whatever, that all that stuff has to be done here.
Correct.
So to get that up and going and moving in the right direction and producing enough product to meet the demand, we knew it was going to be a slow roll.
Absolutely. We knew this was going to happen, that there were going to be shortages, not just from how many plants were in the ground being able to service these people, but it's still all going through the medicinal channel. So all these dispensaries are actually medicinal marijuana dispensaries that were opened before Jan 1 for patients. But they're asked to hold at least 50% of their stock back for patients, to always have access for those medical patients.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some stock out there that can't be sold on the medical or the legal market.
Even if
it has to be held aside.
By store, they would know their business, essentially.
Yes.
They would have an understanding, because the medical, because these guys have been in the medical for 2 years prior to this,
at least.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they would understand what their product flow is.
Yep.
And they got set up to have additional product here for January 1, right? They
yep.
were, this was
as much as they could.
Yeah.
Do
again based on what was available. And these grow facilities are you know, they've been doing this now since medical marijuana in Illinois. Will there be more grow facilities coming online here?
Yes, absolutely. So the licenses for the craft growers just opened up. Those are going to be kind of smaller grow operations. But what's probably going to open it up more is the scalable ones, the ones that are big right now that are going to expand to a couple hundred thousand square feet. You know, not the craft growers that are down at 14,000 square feet of canopy space, but the big guys are going to come out here and start, you know, massively growing these forests of flower.
Yeah. Now, when these grow facilities... Are there what's the national overlay here? What are there national companies that are coming in and aggregating all of these? And you know, so when, let's say, Kansas goes legal, or which, you know, congratulations to Kansas City Chiefs, by the way,
Missouri
or Iowa or what, let's just say, you know, when any of these other things. So these national companies are. Funding these or owning these?
Yeah, we call them multi-state operators. So since everything has to be, you know, done completely here in Illinois, like you talked about before, they'll go and set up shop in a new state, and then create everything from the plant on up to retail. So a vertical integration. So these are, you know, from out-of-state players that are sometimes backing the small business applicants here as well, but also bringing in their opportunity to get in the foothold in with the medical establishments.
Okay, our marijuana guru, Andy Seeger, is with us. We're going to come back to him. And I want to get your phone calls at 312-981-7200. I'd be interested in this, too. And what your take on this is, too, Andy. Who is the market right now for now recreational marijuana? Is it people who are new or returning to marijuana now that it's legal? They smoked it maybe when they were kids or in school or whatever it was, and now they're coming back later in life? Or is it people who were in the gray or black market for it and have decided to go legal, and what your experience with that is? Because not that I know this firsthand, but I will just say that I have some friends who are now complaining about the fact that they want to go back to their pot guy because the guy's got the supply that they were looking for, especially if you're buying.
Keep
bud.
Your local.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, right. Exactly. Buy local. Exactly right, Andy Seeger. All right, we'll come right back. But first, let's check in. Traffic and weather, Lauren Lapka.
Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Turn the radio loud. I'm too alone.
Andy Seeger is with us. He's research manager at Brightfield Group. The numbers are in for the state of Illinois in terms of what they made here in the month of January on marijuana sales, close to $40 million, which makes it the second largest behind California, second largest 1 month the opening for a state. So congratulations, potheads. You've done a great job here in terms of getting people out there. There are still a lot of rules, and we'll get right to the phones here at 981-7200, 312-981-7200. Old habits die hard, Andy. There is a good story, but it's not really the end of the story because there's going to be expansion here, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we're seeing even a fraction of the demand we could see in the future.
Where do you, before we go to the calls, what do you think? Because you're a research manager here at Brightfield, so you're looking at this. What do you think the majority, what is your sense of the motivation for people who are going now to do the recreational marijuana, buy the recreational marijuana here?
Yeah, a lot of it's safety. They know it's going to be accessible, what's in it, it's clarity of ingredients, you know what you're getting. Sometimes you don't always know what you're going to get in that little sandwich bag, whether it's sativa, indica. You know, if you're looking to cure insomnia and you get something that's going to hype you up a little bit, that's going to mess you up. So they're looking for that knowledgeable base, access, security, the ease. So the functionality of it is all new to them as well.
You know, that's an interesting thing because that was always the issue. You never knew what you were getting, right?
Stem seeds.
Right. And there was, and the thing with, especially, you know, people who are smoking in high school or college or what, you know, young adults, whatever it happened to be, however you got into it. You know, in alcohol, you always just say, well, people are 21 and over. But in marijuana, I don't think we have to say that yet. People who did get into it, and you had the regular guy at school or whatever who was the drug dealer who always had the supply, it was completely inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at least back in, you know, in my day. And we were worried about paraquat back then because I don't even want to explain that to the kids, where the government tried to kill everybody who was smoking marijuana. But that really did happen. All right. So let's go to the phone. 312-981-7200. Josh, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Josh.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
So I've been to the...
Duh.
He's been to something. Probably a dispensary.
You know, the one problem, I will say this, Andy, and without any, I'm not judging, but I'm just saying, when you do a stoner topic, the phone calls are sometimes inconsistent.
These are my people.
The use of the telephone itself. Scott, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering, I'm here in Indiana, so obviously we're very conservative in the government, and it looks like we're not going to have any legalization until it goes federal. So I was curious what the timeline might be before it's federally recognized as legit, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, now, sit down and wait for your answer. That's interesting, because do you think that's true in Indiana, that they won't go until there's a federal overlay?
They could. They could be really dragging their feet. They're very, very restrictive. But we also saw that in that 40 million number in Illinois, almost 8.5 of it was from out of state. So a full fourth of the market here in Illinois is from out of state citizens. And that's all around. I mean, Rockford's having a ton of sales, East St. Louis, the Gary area, all across.
So coming from Wisconsin, from Rockford, Wisconsin to Rockford, Galena is getting Iowa, right?
Absolutely.
And then
St. Louis from Missouri, and Gary from Indiana. I mean, there's demand out there from everywhere. So Indiana absolutely has this demand. And like our caller Scott said, it's kind of restrictive there because of their very conservative government. So federal legislation is required to pass for Indiana to come along. That's going to take a long time. We're either going to see pressure on these politicians really ramp up, as I think it's about 69% of America now supports legalization.
Yeah.
That's a pretty high number, and that cuts across a lot of demographics, red and blue. So this could start to push pressure on people across aisles, and we're seeing that in conservative states. We're seeing that in New Mexico, Arizona. We're looking at big in the next couple of months here with their legislature, as well as the eastern bloc of states. So this is everywhere. This is everybody.
The OS, the original stoner, is 70 years old now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at Bernie. You don't think Bernie was on the skeech? I could tell you he was. I just look at him, he was. I mean, all those documentaries about the guys in Vietnam who were getting high, smoking dope out of their M16s.
Yep.
Right? I mean, so this is not new. This is not like a kid's problem. As a matter of fact, quite honestly, I think the millennial is really not the key target right now, because there's other stuff, I think, for them. Right. Okay. And that's going to be a whole other world, by the way. That's because, I mean, God knows where we're going next.
It's
psilocybin and all the rest of it. That's
coming.
That people want to bring online. Linda, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. Well, I bought stocks last March, and one is more into the medical marijuana and the other is into the recreational marijuana. They've both gone down badly, and even since January 1st they've continued to decline. And well, and you have to buy them through the Canadian stock exchange because of what the prior gentleman just explained. So I just wonder if you have any insight into why that is.
Oh, Andy's got thoughts on this.
Yeah.
You called the right place for this.
I'm glad I got my economics degree. Yeah. So a lot of the cash came out of these companies. They were heavily overvaluated when they were going on up there. They were the hot ticket items up there.
Right.
And we saw a lot of cash flood into them so that they could expand and try to meet demand of what was going on up in Canada. Canada government is really rather open, but it still limits their opening. So nothing is quite as successful as everybody thought. It was a very tough year for Canadian firms and cannabis firms in general. So we saw a lot of the liquidation, a lot of the valuation come out of the market in the second half of last year, and a lot of those stocks went down, even though this is a very hot market.
Well, it's interesting too, Linda, is two things. I mean, this is not professional advice because I'm not allowed to give you professional advice. I'm just going to give you my opinion, which is that the Canadian Stock Exchange is where you have to be right now. But when this happens in the United States, that Canadian Stock Exchange product, unless it's getting bought by an American company, is not necessarily going to be, it's going to lose its value unless it gets sucked up into an American company. Now, for example, there are alliances. Canopy, I don't know if you're invested in that, but Canopy is now aligned with Constellation Brands, which is one of the largest liquor and beer distributors in the world. So they have an agreement at this point, but they're not, it's because of the federal banking rules that it just doesn't turn around like that, right?
There's a firewall in between.
Right. Yes, exactly. All right, quickly, Steve, this is a great question, and I'd like to know the answer to this, too. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. How do you bank this cannabis? Like, I know it's cash. Do they take debit cards? Do they take credit cards? And then operationally, like, how do you pay taxes? How do you pay your employees? I mean, it's got to be really, really difficult. But,
yeah. So that's a great question. We got about 20 seconds.
Steve hits the absolute biggest question in the market right now. How do you bank? And right now it is just a map of cash boxes because everything is in cash. They do W-2s in cash. If they are doing W-2s, then they should be. Everything's in cash. So us need to be putting pressure on the government to bring that banking to the industry if this industry is going to be healthy and maintain itself.
So at a dispensary, an employee is getting paid in cash every 2 weeks or every week or whatever it is?
They don't take debit. Most of them will not take debit. They'll have an ATM on site. It's all cash transactions.
Wow. Wow. Andy Seeger from Brightfield Group, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. We got the
thank
news
you.
Coming your way in 2 minutes.
Radio Chicago, WGN.